by eat, and he said to them, I have food to eat which of I have food to eat of which you do not know. Therefore the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him food, anything to eat? Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Wow. I mean, he was delighted that he was not even considering his physical food. When it came to when one sinner repents, the angels in heaven repents, and here the Samaritan woman is repentant of her sin, and we see that Christ is delighted, is joyous, excited to do the will of the Father. John chapter 9 verse 4. Work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. Wow. I'll tell you, many of us are Christians here in this fellowship, and is your ministry, what you are doing, is it a burden for you? And you come here as a burden. I got to do this now. I got to go to church. Is it a burden for you to get up in the morning and come to, you know, go through the freeway and, you know, all the cars and so forth like that, and just come here and sit and listen? Is it a burden or is it a delight? If somebody is giving, I'll tell you, let me give an example. If somebody is giving $5,000, but you had to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning, I'll tell you, people will be there from 2 o'clock in the morning together. Let me tell you. The God's work is better than that. That's what Jesus was telling the Samaritan to the disciples. Of course he was hungry, but he was overjoyed when one person repents. And he said, you don't know my food. My food is to do the work of him who sent me. It's a delight to serve God. It's a delight to be here. It's a delight to hear the word. That is Christianity. That's what Jesus did. He didn't give us a religion that we would be all go into the jungle and be like hermits. No. He gave us joy in our salvation. So Christ came to do the will of God. He was obedient to the Father. He was obedient to his parents. Luke chapter 3 verse 49. We can see his obedience. From the very beginning, Luke chapter 3:49. Remember how Jesus was in the temple and his mother and father, they were looking for him. They couldn't find him. At the end, when they found him, Luke chapter 2:49, he said to them, why did you seek me? Did you know that I must be about my Father's business? From the very beginning, since he was small, he was in his father's business. Then verse 50 says, but they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and was subject to them. He was subject to Mary and Joseph. He was obedient to the parents, because one of the requirements of the law is what? Obey your father and mother. And he was obedient to the civil laws, the laws of the government. Matthew chapter 22 verse 17. Tell us therefore, and here comes some of the Pharisees trying to trap him, and says, tell us therefore, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, why do you test me, you hypocrites? Show me the tax money. So they brought him a denarius. And he said to them, whose image and inscription is this? They said, Caesar's. And he said to them, render therefore to Caesar's the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Was subject to the laws of the government at that time. He didn't come to have a revolt and throw the government away? Of course not. The kingdom of God is spiritual, isn't it? It's nothing that you see. And he was made under the ceremonial law. And we know that he was circumcised on the eighth day as the law required. He was presented at the temple for ceremonial laws that was required by God. He kept all of them, the Pentecost and so forth like that, the Feast of the Tabernacles. Everything was kept by Christ. Also, he was made under the moral law. He was made under the moral law. And he was tempted like any of us. The Bible says he was tempted in all directions, but he never sinned. He kept all the moral law. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 8 says, he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Though he was a son, he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Now, Christ was, because he fulfilled all of the law where Adam couldn't fulfill, Christ was called, he became righteous. He was righteous. Now, another example is, turn with me to James 1, okay, verse 14. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desires has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Now, in this, I'm trying to show this from this scripture, that Jesus never sinned, was never born in sin, yet also in his life he never sinned because he obeyed all the requirements of the law and he was righteous. And he was the only one who was righteous. Not Adam, or not Moses, not Abraham. Everybody died. Why did they die? Because they sinned. James very clearly shows that, right? Sin brings death. Wages of sin is what? Death. So, here Christ never sinned. So, if he did not sin, he cannot really die. Unless he offered himself voluntarily. He's dead. That's what he did, right? He cannot die. Absolutely can't. Because he was righteous. Unless he voluntarily gives his death, gives his life as a sacrifice. Now, that's what he did, right? He gave his life as a sacrifice. Now, still, the death couldn't hold him. He has to rise back again. Because why? He was righteous. Was righteous. Isn't this amazing? Isn't this neat? Wow. Now, let me show you now. Christ was righteous. Because Christ was righteous, now the believing sinner, Christ's righteousness is imputed to us. Wow, that is mind-boggling. Not only our sins are forgiven, for the believing sinner, Christ's righteousness that we broke. Oh, what about you and I? Broken the law? Yes. Huh? Just imagine where you came from, where I come from. Huh? See the things that you have done. We have broken the law in action, in our mind, in words, in everything, with all these instruments, but God has given us the brain and everything. We have used all the instruments for wickedness, right? But just imagine, by faith we come to Christ. When the believing sinner comes and he repents and asks for forgiveness and asks for mercy, and God's grace falls upon him, and not only he's forgiven, but God imputes his righteousness to the believing sinner. Now the believing sinner, not only that we are righteous, that we, when we die, we cannot stay in the grave either, because we are righteous. That's why there's a resurrection of the righteous. Right? Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become what now? The righteous of God in him. Wow. To have eternal life, you need to have righteousness. That's the basic message here. You need to have righteousness. With eternal life, to attain eternal life, you have to have righteousness. Without the righteousness, you cannot have eternal life. And you don't hear on the dispensationalist view on this. You don't hear that. For you, what you will hear is Christ died for you, now you can go to heaven. He gave you eternal life. But they don't go deep into the subject and show you that it is what is needed is obedience, the righteousness of God that needs eternal life. That's why the scriptures are so important. Now, Romans chapter 4, verse 22. Romans 4, 22. And it says here, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. This is for Abraham. Now verse 23 says, now it was not written for his sake alone, that saw Abraham, that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him, who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. And here, righteousness is imputed for us too. Wow. Now, to the true Christian, we are called to obey Christ. Now, for us to obey Christ is not to gain eternal life, but as a result of what Christ did for us. You understand? Christ told many times that we need to obey him. Why do you obey him? It's not because we want to go to heaven. No. We cannot gain eternal life. Again, what Christ has done. We obey Christ for what he has done for us. As a result, why we love him? Because he first loved us. John chapter 14, verse 23. Jesus said, Jesus answered to him, this is what he said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me, he does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all these things and bring to you your remembrance all things which I said to you. See, the practical side of this whole story is that if we truly love Christ for what he has done, for unworthy, miserable sinners like us, who has given us, not only he forgiven our sins, but also he gave us righteousness so we can have eternal life. See, we should be amazed for what he has done for us. Now, if he has done all these things, now we can go to heaven by Christ's merit alone, by his works alone of obedience, we can go to heaven. How much more we should love him? How much more we should love him? How much more we should keep his word? That's what Jesus is saying. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Why? Because all what he has done. Now, if you don't keep his word, if a parent tells a child, I want you to obey, you know, these are things that I have done for you. I have sent you to school, I brought you food, I have clothed you, I have given all these things. and the children and the child is disobedient to the father and does just the opposite things, take drugs, entertainment, doesn't listen, and no love for the parent. The same way, in a basic way, if you know what Christ have done, it's the knowledge that is very important. That's what we learned today. But the heart, it needs to go to your heart. And if you truly love Him, how can you sin? How can you keep on sinning? The more you grow in Christ in the head, the more you grow in the heart. That's the whole message here. And how, just like Joseph, how can I do such an evil thing against God? I can't. Because that's, Joseph didn't know the imputation of righteousness, or he didn't know nothing about that. Didn't he? Of course not. But it was the grace of God that was given to him that shows that he had a fervent love for God. In the same way, we know the Word. We know the Word. We hear the Word. And some of you are falling asleep because it's not here. And here, look, John chapter 14, verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all these things and bring to your remembrance all the things that I said to you. That's a very key word. We missed that there. Because that's all in context with obedience to Jesus Christ, because it's the Holy Spirit that will bring us to remembrance. But I'll tell you, if you're in the flesh, the Holy Spirit will not bring you into remembrance, the Word of God. If you're living in flesh, the Holy Spirit will not bring into remembrance. You cannot meditate in the Word of God. You got to be in the Spirit. You got to walk in the Spirit. The sons of God, the children of God, they are not like the world. They don't walk according to the passions of the world. They don't conform to the patterns of the world. We don't do the things what the world do. We are separated. We are holy. We are different. As the Bible says, we are a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. A peculiar means there's a vast difference. That's what it says. Why? Because we love Christ. We keep His word. By the grace of God, we want to strive to keep His word. That's the most important thing. But if you're living in the flesh, how can you remember the word of God? Because you have given yourself. You're not living according to the will of God. You're living according to your emotions, according to your feelings. My feeling is what? My flesh wants to do whatever sin. I want to please sin, right? That's what the flesh wants to do. How we need to crucify this flesh? Huh? Luke chapter 12, verse 37. Another example is Jesus was obedient to the Father. He came to save, He came to serve Him, and so we should be. We serve Him because He set an example to us. Luke chapter 12, 37. Jesus said here, "Blessed are those servants whom the Master, when He comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that He will gird Himself and them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. And He should come in second watch or come in the third watch and find them. So blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would watch and not allow his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." Means we need to be doing the will of the Father as servants. Blessed are those who are servants of God. That's what He's saying here. Servants, what do the servants do? Serving the Master. That's what it is. Are you serving the Master today? Or are you just coming and listening and just going? I mean, are you just coming to listen to, you know, a sermon, then go on your own and do your own things? Or are you serving Him? Are you living for Him? John chapter 12:26, Jesus said, anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, my Father will honor. Wow. If you serve Christ, you're with him, and the Father is going to honor you. And you follow Christ, then you're a servant. A servant follows the master. A servant will not follow. If you follow Satan according to your flesh, then you're a servant of Satan. That's it, basically. You can't follow cannot follow two masters at the same time. You either follow the other one, God of this world, or you follow Jesus. That's it. How many Christians compromise, huh? Compromise. Compromise to sin, then later repent. Playing games with God. God is not mocked. Now let me tell you, go back to the book of Revelation. Book of Revelation chapter 20, starting from 11, and it says here, let's go to verse 10. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire, brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, in whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, the small and the great, standing before God, and books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged according to what? According to their works, by the things which are written in the books. The sea gave up, the dead were in it, the dead and the Hades were delivered up, the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. God is going to judge everybody according to works. According to works. Adam was given a job, and it was his work that can attain obedience. But Adam couldn't do it. That's why Christ came. He did the works that was required by God. And he fulfilled the commandments and gave. He attained righteousness. It was only the works of Christ. When the books are open, God is going to see whether you are in Christ or whether in yourself trying to do the works by yourself. And you need to have this righteousness of God to enter eternal life. And if you don't have it, there is no eternal life. That's what it says here. You go to Hades, hell. But my message, that is to the ones who are not Christians. And if you are not a Christian, you need to repent. You need to repent and ask the Lord, God, forgive me. I am a sinner. And realize that you have sinned against the Almighty God, and you deserve what? The wrath of God for what you have done. God is going to punish you in the lake of fire. That's what he says here. He's going to punish you in the lake of fire unless there is repentance. You need to realize that what? You deserve the wrath of God, but realize, God, help me. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go in hell and burn in the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. Forgive me. I'm a miserable sinner. And ask God to pardon your sin and forgive you and his grace to fall upon you, so that you will see the truth, that you will embrace Christ, the righteousness. He's called the Son of Righteousness. And embrace him. So through Christ, we can go to hell. Christ's work for what he has done, and on Christ's merit alone, God will pardon you and you can have eternal life. And this is the message of the gospel, and this is what God requires from everybody. He requires to fulfill all the law where we couldn't, what Christ did. That's the message. Christ's active obedience of Christ. Active. What do you mean by active? It's not dead. It's always alive. Active. How about you? Are you active in the Lord? Are you kind of dead? Or sleepy? Wake up! The time is now. Wake up. Wake up. In the name of the Lord, wake up, because the night is coming. You can work. We have given such a lot of freedom in this country. There's so much freedom. And freedom for us, don't use the freedom to sin, but use the freedom to glorify God. Let's pray.